and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard. Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
We start out with some good news. Two federal judges have blocked President Trump's plan to let federally funded health programs discriminate against LGBT people and others.
But Vice President Pence, why do I always get the butt line at the beginning of the headlines? Vice President Pence hails anti-LGBT discrimination by adoption agencies. Go agencies.
But a gay man is leading the race for the Democratic nomination for president in Iowa.
Sad news from Texas. Legendary trans activist Nikki Aragoose-Lloyd has died.
And we learned a lot more about legendary Whitney Houston from her former partner, Robin Crawford, who detailed their sexual relationship in a new book.
I don't know that we actually learned a lot more.
No. mean,
But we'll tell you what we did learn. Actor Brian J. Smith of the series Sense8 came out.
And we've got trouble to report from Uganda, Turkey, Georgia, Switzerland, Saudi Arabia. Boy.
And Israel, too.
Yeah.
And there's some story about drug-resistant bacteria spreading, especially among gay and bi men. It's a little murky, but we'll tell you
murky,
what we know.
A little murky.
Okay.
Well, God bless...
God bless who?
Pissy Miles.
Oh, yes. Definitely God bless
Put
Pissy Miles.
Put a picture up of Pissy at the hearings on Wednesday for impeachment. I mean, I think this is a sign of progress that she could walk in and not be stopped by the,
well, it's
Capitol
not a
Police.
It's not a picture of the security guards throwing her out.
Nope.
And this showed up in a tweet from an NBC reporter who said, people ask me if I ever see anything new in Washington.
Pissy is a very famous drag comedian out of Asbury Park, New Jersey, has won a slew of awards.
Yep.
And this is, after all, although Pissy is not transgender, I just want to remind people, this is Transgender Awareness Month. Last week I said we were taping on Transgender Remembrance Day. No, that's November 20th. In fact, in New York, they're going to have a ceremony down at the pier at 6 o'clock, Christopher Street Pier. Do some Googling, and I'm sure you'll find things going on in your neck of the woods.
Now, I was happy to see Pissy Miles at the hearings because the rest of it depressed the hell out of me.
Well, I know.
Let's have a little discussion of this because I would like to be talked out of this, but my reaction seeing a little bit of the first day, which is when we're taping on the first day of the hearings, was that we don't have the rock'em sock'em punch that we need and that there are answers to our charges.
Either you think, you know, the president holding up aid to an ally who desperately needs it is an impeachable offense over a political dispute.
Or
a domestic political dispute.
Or you think he's just being a good, tough guy.
Right.
Pursuing rumors that need to be pursued.
To me, it's not just the president. It's that whole crew of Giuliani and all these other people who were sent out into the field to conduct a parallel foreign policy. And I think that the people who testified, the ambassadors, were very sober, said, we can't go on like this.
Well, I just fear that those who support Trump have an excuse to support him by saying... look, they had heard these rumors, they were pursuing them, they should pursue them,
you've got a point, because as Nikki Haley said, he never lied, I never heard him
and
tell
he was a great boss,
never
he was always good to me.
And of course they're running all the clips of her saying how totally unacceptably as a human being in this country.
They're shameless, none of that will have any effect.
Well, then let's give them. And then, of course, before we leave the hearings, of course, the GOP hatchet man in the hearings, they moved Jim Jordan over to the committee in the very week that someone else, Jim Jordan of Ohio, representative, the guy who never wears a jacket, put his picture up there. He was further implicated in the athletic scandal at Ohio State, where he was an assistant wrestling coach. There are 177 students there who were sexually assaulted by the team doctor named Strauss. 43 lawsuits, and three of these people say they told Jordan of the misconduct, and he just shrugged.
Yes, this is a new lawsuit brought against him, saying that that he ignored this. This story has been out there for a while, but now there are more charges coming from new people who say they told him.
Yeah, don't
and yet there he sits on the committee. Attacking all these legendary State Department
right. Can we give them? Can we give them some good news?
Sure. Let's get to some real issues.
We ended the show. The show last week was the big news that the Trump administration issued new regulations that said you want to discriminate against gay people, you go right ahead if you get federal funding, or Jews, or you know, or Christians and Muslims
for
that matter.
Anyone you want.
Just have to cite a religious reason because your religious freedom is more important than anything.
Yeah.
So. This past week, actually, just as we finished the show, one federal judge came out with a decision putting a stop to this for the time being, and there is another federal judge down the line. And we should quote from this. This judge is named Paul Engelmeyer in the Southern District, and let's see. He said, you know, you said there was a significant increase in complaints about people's religious freedom being violated. It looks to me from what you've submitted, it's about 6% of the cases that you submitted that might qualify on that. And he found that the rule violates the Administrative Procedure Act, the separation of powers, the spending clause. And he said he questioned the validity and integrity of the Trump administration's decision making. Really?
Is he the one who called it an arbitrary and capricious disregard of civil rights laws?
That's the one. He also said that it was factually untrue, what you're submitting to me. This was a 145-page decision. This guy writes fast.
This is the Trump administration's denial of care rule, which they said that if you have any kind of religious or moral objections, so you don't even have to be religious, just moral objections, your definition of your morality, you are allowed to disregard all civil rights laws and discriminate against anyone you want.
This will sow further division in the country where we all need to get along despite our differences. Well, and we'll talk about that. Well, actually, no. We'll talk about what Pence said because it's in relationship to this. He gave a speech for National Adoption Month at HHS headquarters, Health and Human Services, extolling the new rule allowing government-funded adoption agencies to refuse child placement to LGBT homes. He said, "We will stand for freedom of religion and we will stand with faith-based organizations to support adoption. I couldn't be more proud of the rule." Unless you reinstated the sodomy law, that might cheer him up a little bit more, but he didn't say that.
I don't know.
I'm sure.
Given the rumors about him constantly.
There it is. A lot of people say that. If any of you have any information on the vice president.
Because
everybody always says it about Pence on Facebook. If you post anything about Pence, they call him a closet case. But even here at Gay USA, we don't have any solid information.
We do not. And we do not like to repeat rumors without some. We're transparent. We don't have any information.
Right.
We've heard the rumors. We don't like him. We think he's creepy, and we would really crave some real information.
And we didn't need a book by Anonymous to know that Trump is cruel, inept, and a danger to the nation.
Yeah. Well, you showed up at the demo against
him. We did. There was a Rise and Resist demo. You can run the B-roll there from the videotape that we have. We're several hundred people. You may even spot in this crowd Paul Rudnick, who's a famous playwright and screenwriter and essayist at the Nereas. There's Paul. And so we were pushed away from where Trump was speaking behind plexiglass.
Well, I was in
He looked like he was in a liquor store in a high crime neighborhood or something. He was so protected.
I was out of town for my niece's wedding. I was driving back, and I have Sirius radio in the car so I can listen to MSNBC all day long. God forbid I should be away from it. And I could hear you guys as Trump was speaking. I could hear demo behind
him. That's encouraging because, you know, we were closer, and then the police come up and say, y'all got to move. I said, why? Because I said so, the police officer said.
Well, that's always their answer.
If you don't obey, they will lock you up. But we were able to shout lock him up as well. And, it was awful. I think in some ways he came to that event because he wanted a little bit of provocation between the veterans and us and maybe, recreate the whole Vietnam War era kind of a thing.
Maybe.
But we kept saying, we love the veterans, we hate Trump, dump Trump.
Well, but the real backstory on that is that many years ago, he gave a lot of money to that parade and asked to be an honoree at it. And they wouldn't do it because he wasn't a veteran. And normally, the U.S. president on Veterans Day goes to Arlington and lays a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown or some...
Mike Pence did it this year.
Instead of giving Trump credit for being the first president of the Veterans Day Parade, no, he should have been at Arlington. And he came to the Veterans Day Parade in New York because he has, for so many years, harbored a resentment that they wouldn't honor him when he gave the money. So he finally got to stand up and be the featured speaker.
After he's impeached and removed, he will have been commander in chief. Will he then be a veteran?
No.
Commander-in-chief of the armed forces?
No.
Okay.
He's not a military...
He is a military leader. He's commander-in-chief of the armed forces.
He is a civilian...
It's in the Constitution.
A civilian leader of the armed forces.
All right. Okay, let's move on to...
I'll give the FBI a little credit this week for coming out with their latest study on hate crimes and noticing that trans people are a rising number of victims of hate crimes. Thank you for paying attention to that, at least.
And, last week we told you that two of the Supreme Court justices, Alito and Kavanaugh, we have a picture of them, met with Brian Brown of the National Organization for Marriage and Cardinal Mueller, who's a right-wing Catholic leader, anti-gay activist. So Masha Gessen, you can leave that picture up. That's Brian Brown there on the right, and you see the justices and the whatever.
First and third from the left.
Masha Gessen, lesbian writer at the New Yorker.
The New Yorker.
Activist. Asked Brian Brown, so do you see a way for my family and yours to live in peace in the same society? And Brown first said, I don't know, then paused and said, no. In other words, as she said, he opposes our right to even exist in this society.
But I don't see why you find that so shocking, because his whole line for decades has been how illegitimate we are and how our whole lives are illegitimate. So how is he going to reconcile tolerating our existence and keep on with his political stance?
It reminds me of a famous article by Joseph Epstein in the Harper's Magazine in the 70s where he wrote, if I could wish homosexuality off the face of the earth, I would.
Yes, well, that's what these people think.
For God's sake.
And they're just trying to be consistent because they think if they give an inch of tolerating our existence, that undermines their whole argument. So they can't. They cannot say, yes, we could coexist.
All right.
Thine enemy.
Should we talk about politics?
Sure.
Well, our old buddy Mike Bloomberg put his toe in the water about the presidential race and seems to have gotten it cut off.
He's going to make an announcement Monday.
Yeah?
Yeah. Which reputed to be entering the race, but we'll see.
He is at less than 1% in the polls.
We're interested in the rumors about him, too, if you have any concrete information.
He's been divorced for a long time. His best friend is his ex-wife. That's, whatever. And, of course, he had a terrible record on LGBT rights. He's the guy who stopped same-sex marriage in New York for 6 years by appealing a court ordered to do it.
Stopped a contractor's law that would have made contractors with the city provide benefits to same-sex couples.
There he is with Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, and Rudy Giuliani. I rest my case. They all played golf together.
Well, he also has a bad track record with female employees who have sued him for bad policies at his his business. He is, as mayor of New York, everybody says, oh, what a great mayor he was. He's a plutocrat who did not care a whit for the people, sold the whole city to developers, and drove out any middle or lower class.
We're paying for that.
Cut HIV funds.
He once told one of his female employees who got pregnant, kill it, meaning get an abortion. And Mark Green, who was running against him for mayor, was debating whether to do an ad on that. I was standing this close to Hillary Clinton in Washington Square, and she said to him, you have got to run that ad. He didn't.
He also was the one who promoted porn shop arrests.
Oh, please.
Stop and frisk. When he became mayor, there were like 80,000 stop and frisk stops a year. When he left, 680,000 stop and frisk stops.
Insane.
Wait a minute. I got another thing or two about him. Yeah. Oh, anti-union. And as we said for many years on this show, the top Republican donor in the country.
Yes, and he kept the New York State legislature, Senate, from turning Democrat by giving them, by funding them in tremendously.
The Republicans,
Guys like this, I mean, he became mayor because of 9/11. He wouldn't have been elected that year. It was kind of a fluke. And I think he sort of thinks he could sort of slip through there, but it's not going to happen.
Look,
not in the Democratic Party.
I have a friend who called me up and left me a message saying how excited she was that Bloomberg was going to run because he was such a great mayor and such a great guy. I hear this all the time from people. And I refused to call her back. I was so angry. And then she called me back, and I just lit into her and said, don't you dare mention that monster to me.
Did she move off her?
Oh, I had no idea. I was being offensive.
Well, how about Deval Patrick?
She didn't move off her opinion.
No, that's what I mean.
She wanted to argue it again with me, and I said, stop it.
Deval Patrick, the former governor of Massachusetts, also looking at getting in. He, of course, has a lesbian daughter. But like Mitt Romney, he spent his last few years managing director of Bain Capital. So, I mean, what are these people thinking if they want a political future?
That
I know they want to make money, but they become plutocrats. It's like Hillary taking all that money from Wall Street.
They're very proud of themselves.
All right.
But we buried the lead, which is Pete Buttigieg leading the polls in Iowa now.
He's at 22%, up 14% in the Monmouth poll. Biden is at 19%, Warren is at 18%, Sanders is at 13%. But the other statistic from this poll is that his favorability rating is at plus 63% in Iowa. Biden is at 39%, Warren is at 46%, Sanders is at 32%. That's the contrast of your favorable and unfavorable. He's at plus 63%. So, he's sort of become a cipher, I think, of somebody people can, like with Obama to some extent, who was this new face on the scene. We want something fresh and new and clean and blah, blah, blah. This is the new soap. So, I'm not saying there's no substance there.
Well,
we think he's a little conservative from our point of view.
Yes.
But
speaking of, he worked for McKinsey. If we're going down the financial services, McKinsey is a consultant, not financial services, but same realm.
Right.
But he's not pushing Medicare for all. He's not describing himself as a socialist. He's not 77 years old. The rest of them are slowly disqualifying themselves.
That's true. They're all the rest
and
of them.
And he's only gay.
And why
Which evidently is not a disqualifier.
Right.
So good for him.
And
we'll
then we
see.
Can finally get a first man in the White House, and it won't be married to a woman.
Yeah.
All right.
And more locally, we have a new lesbian candidate for mayor in New York City down the road. This is a little out of...
I don't know if they can pull it up. Maybe
they
can.
I bet they can. A woman named Lori Sutton, who's an ex-brigadier general and has been running the new Veterans Services Department in New York City, has announced that she is going to run for mayor of New York City.
There she is.
That makes her the second LGBT candidate in the race after Corey Johnson. And it's not till 2021. Well, there she is with her wife. You know, proposing to her in the Pride Parade a couple of years ago.
Now, you know, my old boss, Bill Lynch, who was a former deputy mayor, used to say, nobody thinks they can do brain surgery tomorrow, but everybody thinks they can do politics. And so she's jumping in. But she says she's a moderate.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's the other people running besides Corey. Scott Stringer is our city comptroller.
It's only going to be bigger than the Democratic field for president at the moment.
We'll see.
The other thing is we talked last week about Virginia going Democratic in the legislature and how that opens the door for passing the ERA.
The federal Equal Rights Amendment.
Yeah, but here's my fear. With these, with our progress in cases defining sex discrimination as including sexual orientation and gender identity, is the right wing now going to come out even heavier against the ERA on those grounds?
Well, not just that, GLAD, you know, was floating this idea of an equal rights amendment that specifically defined sex as including sexual orientation and gender identity.
Rewriting the ERA already been passed by 37 states?
Yes, to do one that would be more expansive. Now, so this is all, you know, a little dicey. Look, speaking of the judges, I mean, we're not obviously confident of winning at the Supreme Court with the three cases about defining sex as including sexual orientation and gender identity. But Trump, by the way, has appointed 19% of the judiciary thus far and could end up filling half of all circuit appeals court seats just by the end of next year. Very depressing.
Extremely.
Which is why we need to expand the federal judiciary to counterbalance that. That can be done.
Mm. And thank you to the governors of Rhode Island and New York, Governor Gina Raimondo in Rhode Island and Andrew Cuomo in New York, who have both signed bills restoring benefits to dishonorably discharged LGBTQ veterans. People who were thrown out of the military inappropriately now can apply for benefits and circumvent their inappropriate discharges.
We got an interesting ruling from the out lesbian judge that Trump appointed, Mary Rowland. She ruled that the Board of Immigration Appeals made a mistake, in other words, in denying a petition to a guy who wanted to give residency to his husband from Romania. Now, they were trying to deny it on the basis of he'd been married to a woman before, and that was a sham marriage. And if you do that, you're banned forever. But he said it wasn't a sham marriage. I went out with her. It didn't work out. You know, it was a while ago. And so she ruled, no, he's entitled to it, and it was not a sham.
Well, that's nice.
So she probably understands bisexuality.
But, I hope so.
But Trump is preparing to deport a lesbian woman who fled Uganda after she was beaten and raped because of her sexuality. Officials cited a lack of credible fear for this woman named Margaret. They only call her Margaret. She had fled to Mexico, sought asylum in the United States. She can appeal that decision, but she was denied.
In Wheaton, Illinois, at Longfellow Elementary School, they had a guest speaker scheduled, an author, Robin Stevenson, who wrote a book called Kid Activists. And it's a nice little story of heroes who've done things that have made the world better.
Well, they look innocent, but really they're undermining the freedom of religion. No.
Because a parent complained that Harvey Milk was included as one of the activists in this book and got the school to cancel the appearance by author Robin Stevenson.
They're always accusing us of Soviet-style tactics, and they, of course, want to erase us from history like we don't exist.
Projection. Everything they accuse us of is something that they are doing
themselves.
Let's
go to Los Angeles, as long as we're talking about schools. 200 students at Bishop Amat, A-M-A-T, High School walked out in support of a lesbian student after school officials threatened to tell her parents she's a lesbian. The student experienced homophobic harassment from school officials for having a girlfriend. She eventually came out to her parents, who turned out to be very supportive, and she's transferred to another school. Amat denies homophobia.
Why not stay at that school where you got 200 friends who'll go out in the street for you?
That's true.
Is this why Pete Buttigieg is winning? Because the young people are smarter?
I don't know what the demographics of his vote are.
I'd be curious about that.
I would think older people would think, he's a nice young man.
Well, let's figure that out. Less good news in education land from LaPorte, Indiana, where at LaPorte High School, out gay junior Jordan Steffi was being harassed continually by other students, and especially one who was calling him names and confronting him and being really nasty to him. And Jordan snapped.
Well, he said, I've been called this since the second grade, and I'm sick of it.
Yeah. So he slapped the kid.
He did. There's a video of this online. If you just Google Jordan Steffi, he's kind of sorry that he did it, and he's now going to be homeschooled.
both guys.
But he said, I won't be anyone's doormat. And, you know, it's got,
he's proud of standing up for himself. He's sorry he used violence.
Sorry. He got a million hits in a day over this.
For his one hit. They were both suspended.
They were. But he got a stronger penalty because he struck.
Yeah. In other violence news, in Henderson, Nevada, Wendell Melton was a guy who hated the fact that his son was gay.
Yes.
And his son, Giovanni, 14 years old, they got in an argument and the father shot him dead.
And we're getting this testimony from his former foster mother who said this, you know, this guy would rather have a dead son than a gay son. And he's now trying to tell, he was arrested, he's being held on $800,000 bond. He's trying to tell the police it was accidental. He came upon, he's found the boys, the son together with another guy, and that was it for him.
Yeah, it was an accident. I feared for my life.
Yeah.
Really?
Right.
I don't think so. Well, we want to celebrate the life of Nikki Aragus Lloyd, who died at 44.
Yeah.
She was amazing.
Down there in Texas.
Houston. We talked about her 10 years ago. She transitioned fairly early, and she married a firefighter. While she was in the process of transitioning, she was on hormones. She had changed her identity, had gotten IDs that identified her as female, and they got married. And then a couple of months after they got married, she had surgery, gender-confirming surgery. And then he, tragically, was killed in a big fire that he was helping fight. He was a real hero, and they had a great marriage.
It was back in 2010.
They were married in 2008, and then 2010. And then his family went to court to fight her for her inheritance.
We want the benefits from his death, not you. You're not legitimate.
You were a man when you married him, and Texas did not legalize same-sex marriage, so you cannot have the inheritance. We get it all. So at first, she lost in court, but she kept fighting for years. And finally, she won. She won in 2015. And I remember the case at the time because they had different rules county by county in Texas. And truly, And in some counties, she was regarded as male, and they would have disallowed a same-sex marriage. In other counties, she was regarded as female, and they had a legitimate marriage.
Right.
And it was so confusing at the time, and this was before the national legalization of same-sex marriage, which made all marriages legal.
But she was, have to be human.
She was a real visionary, pioneer hero.
Well, after she won the case, I mean, she founded the Transgender National Alliance in 2015. So she became a big activist. Now, we don't know what she died of, I don't think.
No.
We haven't seen that.
No, but she was only 44. She was doing all this when she was in her early 30s. And thank you for all your work, Nikki. And we're really sorry to hear that you're gone.
Speaking of transgender issues, MasterCard is going to let their customers use their chosen names on their payment cards, even if they have not changed their legal names. It's an effort to help trans and non-binary people. You know, Chase allows you, well, if you want to use a middle name or you want to use an initial, that's okay, we'll do that. They haven't gone the whole way, but that's a step forward.
And T-Mobile has told its employees that they can add their preferred pronouns to their name tags so that that conversation can happen.
The in the United Methodist Church, you know that they're struggling over LGBT issues and are splitting up, but the Western jurisdiction has jumped the gun and declared itself a safe harbor for LGBT clergy. Now, on January 1st, the denomination is putting in place harsher rules about no gay clergy, no gay weddings. So that's going to cause a split. The Western jurisdiction also says they will not punish clergy who perform gay weddings.
I want to clarify something I said last week. We were talking about the execution of Charles Rhines, the
yes.
guy in South Dakota who was given the death penalty, had been trying to challenge it because the jury had assigned him the death penalty rather than a life sentence because they said in their deliberations, oh, we can't send this guy to jail. He'll love that. He's gay.
He'll be with other men. He'll have a great time. Let's kill him.
So I was a little confused about his crime, and what I was trying to say was that it was not a premeditated murder, not that he didn't deserve punishment and maybe the life sentence, but that it wasn't premeditated. But a viewer pointed out that I made it sound as if it was
accidental.
Yes, and that was inappropriate.
Right.
It was in the commission of a robbery, and it was a nasty murder, and I don't want to leave anyone with the impression
we admit our mistakes. The president never does.
Well, I appreciate viewers correcting us or updating us or elaborating. It's really nice to hear from you when you know something more than we do, because we don't know everything, and we want the opportunity to give real information to the audience. So please don't hesitate to contact us with that. And this terrible story from Texas about custody of this young trans child.
Oh, God.
This is from Coppell, I think it's pronounced, C-O-P-P-E-L-L, a suburb of Dallas. Divorcing parents, mom and dad, 7-year-old child comes out as trans female. Mom, who's a pediatrician, supports the child.
Right.
Dad hates this and denies it completely. They go to court, and there's a jury which decides the mother should have custody. Well, the judge decides that she's going to overrule the jury and gives them joint custody.
Right.
Well, the father he takes this child and shaves her head so that she does not look like a girl, and insists that
she looks like a boy. She looks like someone after the end of World War II in France who gets their head shaved.
Now having to go back and forth between the mother who accepts her as a girl, the father who insists she present as a boy.
And the mother is saying, look, it's not like we're going to have surgery on the kid tomorrow.
Or even give her puberty-blocking hormones.
It's too early. Just trying to be supportive. This has gotten out of hand because this has become an issue for the governor and the legislature.
Yes.
They want to pass laws about this.
Yes.
No. I mean, the clinging to strict gender roles,
yes,
even against biological evidence, is
and
just
we're
insane.
Going to decide. We're not going to let the family work this out or support the child. We, the government, are, you know, these conservatives who say, get the government out of our lives, and they are the first ones to jump in and say, we're going to decide this.
This is the kind of crap that makes people leave these states because they can't possibly live under these circumstances.
Right.
Which is why they become bluer.
All right.
Or, excuse me, redder.
Whatever.
Let's call the whole thing off.
You know, they switched that years ago. It used to be that the Democrats were red
and the Republicans were blue.
They switched it.
We're
somewhere.
The blue.
Yeah.
We're the blue team. Can't you tell?
We'll take that. All right. International news?
Yeah, we're going to start international news in Georgia.
Tbilisi, Georgia.
Where the far-right groups there stormed a theater where the Oscar-nominated gay romance and When We Danced premiered there. The Orthodox Church objected to it and attacked it as revolting, so their people revolted. And hundreds threw rocks, firecrackers, beat people. The police did nothing for a while. Finally, they arrested some people. But holy cow,
this is a movie. It's a movie that showed at Cannes, that's won a lot of festival awards, that is the Swedish Oscar submission, and is a co-production with Georgia.
Yes.
It's not just that it's a Swedish production. It's a co-production with Georgia.
All right.
People get upset.
But better news from Denmark. Have we ever had a gay couple on Dancing with the Stars here?
No.
Well, they have their first
gay... We've had gay people on Dancing with the Stars.
Adam Rippon.
Carson Kressley.
Right.
But they are forced to dance with opposite-sex partners.
It sounds unnatural.
Yeah.
But they had their first gay couple in Sweden in 16 years of the show, and they are dominating the competition. It's a gay actor and comedian named Jacob Fowerby, who's teamed up with a dancer named Silas Holt. They're winning.
Well, we'll follow their progress. All right. In Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur, a religious court sentenced five gay men to jail, caning, and fines. And five more are awaiting sentencing.
A fine of $1,164. Not an inconsiderable sum there in Malaysia.
And in Uganda, they are continuing to round up gay men under false pretenses. This time, they've raided a bar in Kampala.
Just an LGBT-friendly bar.
But they claim it was a drug den, which it wasn't.
They charged them with common nuisance. Now, first I read they arrested 67. Now I'm hearing 120.
They arrested 120. They let 50 of them go. They've charged 67 with common nuisance. They face a year in jail if they are convicted.
And in Turkey...
This is just for being in the bar.
Yeah.
These are trumped-up charges. This is how we're going to round up all the gay people in the country and punish them.
And Turkey... and I believe we're entertaining the dictator of that country this week.
Do you think there'll be any more protests on the on the White House lawn where the Turkish police beat them all up and the U.S. does nothing?
Yeah. Well, 18 students there in Turkey and a lecturer on trial are on trial for taking part in a banned LGBTI pride event at an Ankara university. They face, for taking part in this, 3 years in prison.
They're charged with unlawful assembly and protest.
3 years?
Because the Pride March was newly banned. They've been holding this march since 2011, but they just decided under Erdogan to ban it. The cops attacked the march using pepper spray, tear gas, and plastic bullets. Welcome to Turkey, and welcome to the White House, President Erdogan.
But they had a better time in Albania. Is it Tirana? T-I-R-A-N-A?
Yes.
They had their first dyke march there, and it was a great success.
Hundreds and hundreds of people. We told you about it last week. We weren't sure how it would turn out, but it was peaceful and successful. And things are not so peaceful in Hong Kong, of course, where the protests are getting very violent and people are getting
deadly.
Killed. But a group of a couple hundred LGBT migrants in Hong Kong, a lot of them from the Philippines, held a demo as part of this. There, a lot of them are domestic workers, and they're looking for better wages and some rights. And their rallying cry, "We're here, we're queer, we will never disappear."
All right.
You know, it's so nice to have been part of a movement where we invented "We're here, we're queer, get used to it years ago, and it has flown around the world in various incarnations.
All right, let's give them some bad news. Oh, well, one more piece of good news. At the UN Human Rights Council, the Third Committee of the General Assembly accepted the annual report to let that
independent expert
on the protection against violence and discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. It seemed to sail through this year. It usually becomes a big source of controversy.
Well, it was controversial when they first dreamed it up, but it has gotten easier and easier. I think this is the third time they've had to approve it. And it just shows that things that start off as very difficult can be, you know, it happens and nothing happens and people say, oh, okay, and they move on.
Now, we're monitoring what's going on in Bolivia. You've all read that the Evo Morales, the leftist leader, was pushed out in a coup. What I've read is that the leader of the coup, he's not the person who is becoming the new president, Fernando Camacho, is a far-right millionaire with fascist movement, that a big fascist Christian, anti-gay, anti-woman, all this stuff. And so we're very, very concerned. Well, and he's very aligned with Bolsonaro. On the other hand, Lula's out of jail in Brazil.
I'm concerned about Spain, where the far right wing Vox party is gaining more and more seats in the parliament there. The socialist government is still in power, although having a little trouble forming a coalition government. But the right wing is growing there.
Well, our right wing is pretty solid here, too, and anti-gay. But, I mean, when we passed the LGBT rights bill in the House of Representatives this year, the federal
one. The Equality Act.
I mean, we got a handful of Republican votes on that, didn't we?
Maybe three.
Yeah. Oh, a handful. All right.
Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
Well, we were celebrating the fact that a court in the Cayman Islands had legalized same-sex marriage a little while ago.
Chief Justice issued the ruling.
But now the Court of Appeal has overturned that ruling. They did say that the government owes same-sex couples some kind of legal status.
Equivalent to marriage.
Yes, but the government says they're in no hurry to do that. They have other things to do. And if we decide to appeal this ruling, it has to go to the British Privy Council, where we're still awaiting some decision on Bermuda.
Now, the Privy Council, this thing, I mean, it's because these are all colonies and things, and they're part of the Commonwealth, and this is their ultimate court, is the Privy Council, for God's sakes. They've been reluctant to step into these things, but I'm reading that the Privy Council's getting a little upset that you're taking so long to do the right thing on some of these things, and in some of these other nations that of the Commonwealth, they're getting ready to step in, as the Parliament stepped into Northern Ireland and said, you got to do marriage.
It is the Parliament in the UK that may step in and legalize marriage in the Cayman Islands, in Anguilla, in the British Virgin Islands, in Montserrat, and in Turks and Caicos. They've been reluctant to seem like the great colonial leaders telling people of color what to do. But this is, you know, going on long enough.
In South Africa, right-wing religious groups with ties to the United States are working against the new content in the sex ed curriculum. Topics such as consent, gender and sexual diversity, genital differences, and touching oneself for pleasure. South African government so far is holding firm and calling it a campaign of misinformation. Let's hope they stand up to these radicals.
Speaking of campaigns of misinformation, Israel and Saudi Arabia now have something to agree on. In Israel, the Ministry of Education has deleted a video on LGBT acceptance from its website. Now, this is the ministry that is headed by the minister who endorsed conversion therapy. So things are not always so up to date in Israel. And meanwhile, in Saudi Arabia,
a promotional video from the state security agency categorizes feminism, homosexuality, and atheism as extremist ideas. You know, extremist. This is from a country that chops your head off if you are gay, and of course is very anti-woman. And, you know, they go after you just for being a dissenter in the country. But they call this extremism.
Now, I am not, please do not think that I am trying to promote equivalency between Israel and Saudi Arabia.
No.
I just took a little geographic coincidence.
No. Well, and then a kind of a mixed culture story in Switzerland. Now, a father from Iraq attacked his 7-year-old son for being gay, slashing his throat. I'm not going to show you this picture.
Thank you.
The guy's got all kinds of stitches, and of course now it's very evident that he's had his throat slashed. He jumped over a balcony to get away from the guy. He had been trying to hide his sexuality from his family. He is hiding someplace, living apart from them. His father was arrested in Switzerland and is awaiting trial.
In Cuba, the only out gay member of the National Assembly is resigning. He applied to go to an ILGA conference in Colombia.
International Lesbian and Gay Association.
Yes, and the government wouldn't let him go. So he's resigning from the National Assembly, and he criticized Mariela Castro, who purports to be an LGBT ally in the government, and daughter of Raul Castro. There's been a fight for years between her as a government representative and independent LGBT activists in Cuba. And this guy is the latest, victim of that. In Canada, a human rights adjudicator has ordered Manitoba. A human rights adjudicator can order a province to do something. And be nice if that happened here. Orders
what?
Manitoba to offer an X non-binary sex designator on birth certificates. And someone had filed a complaint after being denied the opportunity to do that, and that person gets $50,000 as compensation.
Okay. AIDS news.
Yes.
Well, we told you about that rugby star over there in the UK, Gareth Thomas, who came out about being gay, but then he came out about having HIV in September. And Prince Harry has joined forces with him to stand up and beat the stigma around testing.
Prince Harry took his third public HIV test.
Yes.
Okay, we get it, Harry.
Well, you know, Obama did that once,
didn't he? Well, but Harry's done it three times now.
they are working to end HIV, their transmission, by 2030.
And they're, acknowledging National HIV Testing Week, which starts November 16th.
You know, Gareth was in rugby. It's a tough sport. And he has gotten a tremendous amount of support, public support, as a result of coming out. Now, of course, I think someone was about to expose him or something, so he just made a statement about it. He's a hero.
Shocking, shocking news from the U.S. government this week. The Health and Human Services Department, while telling everybody they can stop serving us if they have moral objections, sued Gilead Pharmaceuticals for patent infringement over Truvada.
They say you've been price gouging, despite the fact that we conceived this damn thing and we funded the research.
And Gilead makes $3 billion a year on this.
And you're not paying us our royalties. Well, of course, you know, that's what a mafia leader does. You're not paying your...
I guess Gilead isn't paying the Republicans enough.
And activists are blaming this guy, Dr. Jonathan Merman at the CDC, for not ensuring accessibility to these drugs.
This is a sort of sidebar. That he's a CDC official, and he denied that the government held Truvada patents. But now the HHS as a whole has sued Gilead for patent infringement. It's shocking that they would do anything.
Now,
that
are you dismissing the discovery of a new strain of HIV in Africa? The first in 19 years by Abbott Labs.
I haven't read the story, so I can't dismiss it.
They found one. They say it's extremely rare, but they say their tests did detect it.
There have always been several different strains of HIV.
One of the researchers said the calling card of HIV is diversity.
Yes.
And that is what has defeated us in terms of trying to get a vaccine going. There are 37 million people living with HIV worldwide, so it's not like we're winning in this battle. We've made progress.
And we've always been concerned about whether different strains would mutate in reaction to drugs and therefore not be preventable. We've had actually a good track record of not having as much of that as we feared.
Well, speaking of mutation, and again, our associate producer Bill Bowman has warned me that the story may not be as solid as we know, but there is a news story that drug-resistant bacteria is spreading among gay and bisexual men. It's an intestinal bacteria that's usually transmitted by food. But now they're finding a lot of sexual transmission in Seattle and Montreal.
Transmitted in food, I would say, not by food.
Well, yeah, all right. You know, it's in the food, the stuff. It causes diarrhea. It's called Campylobacter. It causes diarrhea, fevers, abdominal pain, and it hits 1.3 million Americans a year.
Well, it's like E. coli. You get a bad meal in a restaurant or...
We just have to be concerned when we mix it up that we can be transmitting things.
Okay. Entertainment news?
Well, I also wanted to mention, in terms of health, a study out of Sweden. And trans people who undergo gender confirmation surgery, the mental health benefit from that increases as time goes on. Anxiety goes down 8% a year after the surgery for up to 10 years. So they're saying for some people, and surgery isn't for everybody, but, you know, because the mental health issues before you do anything about it are severe. Mm-hmm. And then when you start to, but this is encouraging news.
Okay.
All right.
Entertainment news. All right. Well, stop the presses. Whitney Houston had a girlfriend. For God's sake.
Well, Robin Crawford wrote a book about their affair early on for about 2 years. Well, they were pretty young.
And yes, this was
then
like...
Then Whitney handed her a Bible and said, we can't do this anymore.
Handed her a Bible and said, I need to make money.
Well, that's true. But they stayed friends and colleagues for a long,
roommates for a while.
For a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, this was about the worst kept secret in the world, but their strategy.
They met as camp counselors in 1980.
Yes, and had an affair, according to Robin, for 2 years.
Whitney said they would go to hell if they continued to do this.
Well,
and of
her
course,
mother.
Whitney ended up in hell.
Her mother.
I don't mean literally. I mean she certainly had a lot of difficulty, I think, from not accepting herself.
Yes.
In fact, one of, I think, her abusive ex-husband said if she had...
Bobby Brown.
If she had, reconciled with Robin as a lesbian, she probably would have been alive today.
Her mother didn't help. Sissy Houston, who's a wonderful singer, was always very negative about it and didn't want Whitney to be out or be with Robin or anyone else.
Anyway, Robin does say that their first kiss was long and warm like honey. Sounds like something out of The Color Purple.
The book is called A Song for You and whatever.
And
she did a big interview on Dateline and everywhere else.
Actor Brian J. Smith has come out at the age of 38. He's known for the Netflix series Sense8. He was Tony nominated for Glass Menagerie on Broadway in 2013 as the Gentleman Caller. He grew up in rural Texas. He felt very isolated. The stage was his escape. He came out to his family at 30, and they were accepting, and his parents said that they were waiting for him to say something.
You know, I hate that.
I know you do.
And I said that to, I went out to speak to a class in Brooklyn last week, a couple of classes, actually, and this is my constant message.
Yes.
And my crusade. I think that one reason we are still in the state we're in is because we still expect people to come out on their own with no support before they're out. And it still looks like a scary thing for people to do, especially at a young age.
Yeah.
And all these parents, including my father,
yes, I know,
say, we always knew, or of course we support you, but I didn't want to, you know, provoke you. I was waiting till you came to me. No. Make the world a safe place for your kid. Let your kid know very assertively that it's absolutely fine to be who you are and that you love and support them.
But that's the message the parents need to send. Whoever you are, we will accept you. Sometimes kids who you know, hear that and they go, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But sometimes, I think you have to go beyond that. I have heard from kids who their parents said, you know, are you gay when they're like 14 or something. And the kid hasn't really processed it themselves, and they get very fatutsed about it. They are, but they don't know.
There are other ways to do it. You can say to a kid, you know, in this world, you could discover any number of things about yourself. You could be gay. That would be great. I'd love it. That'd be fine and terrific, and I'd be very proud of you as a gay person.
Maybe they fear rejection.
Or maybe you're straight. The fact is that people are a variety of things, and it's entirely possible that you could be any of those.
You don't have to answer this question. What did you say to your boys?
We were out lesbians.
Yes, I know, but about themselves.
That they were absolutely fine to be whoever they were. They turned out to be straight. They're both married to women.
Okay. And, but they got the message that they could be who they were.
Absolutely,
absolutely. You wouldn't be disappointed if they were straight.
Absolutely not. No, so we could survive that.
I've heard some gay parents like, you know, oh, no.
No, that's all rotten.
Okay.
The point is that you really have to go the extra mile to make it possible for your kids to feel good about themselves and about you. And you can't just hang back because that is bad parenting and that is dereliction of duty, I think.
Okay.
Because it's still a world where it's, you know, we don't. In schools, we don't teach people you could end up discovering you're a variety of things.
Teachers still have tremendous difficulty coming out in front of their students. A lot of them
about the variety of people they might be.
A lot of them, you know, can be out. I'm just talking about how hard it is for some people.
Yes.
They can be out to their colleagues, but they're afraid if the kids have this information, it's just going to lead to more tumult in the classroom, and they're worried about it.
And that is why it's difficult for kids, because this is how the world is.
Yeah. I have a friend who was a fourth grade teacher, and if he, as soon as somebody said something anti-gay in the class, and this is back in the 70s or 80s, he would just say, look, I'm gay. That's not the way we talk. And he would really set it up like that.
Yes.
But that's with fourth graders. High school is a little harder. All right. More entertainment news.
Yeah.
There's a new movie about Tammy Faye and Jim Baker by Randy Barbato and Fenton Bailey, who made the documentary on them back in 2000.
Yep.
Here's the casting. As Tammy Faye, Jessica Chastain, and as Jim, Andrew Garfield, and Vincent D'Onofrio is going to play Jerry Falwell.
Bring back the documentary. We don't need to see actors playing them.
Jim went to prison. Tammy Faye divorced Jim, and she, you know, did some gay acceptance stuff in the Christian community. But
I watched the HBO special you recommended, Daniel Sloss X.
Uh-huh.
I liked it. I was impressed. I thought he was wonderfully insightful and clever about the way he handled anal stimulation, rape, sex ed, toxic masculinity. I thought it was definitely worth watching. Daniel Sloss X on HBO.
If you have HBO, you can go HBO On Demand and you can see his show called X.
We just have a little over a minute left. GLAAD came out with its annual report. More LGBTQ characters than ever on broadcast primetime. 10% of the regular characters are LGBTQ.
The highest in 15 years of counting.
And a viewer recommended in the state of Washington in Edmonds at the Cascadia Art Museum through January 26th, The Lavender Palette, Gay Culture and the Art of Washington State. Never before seen art from private collections from the Northwest. It's gotten great reviews. People are very excited about it. First exploration of regional gay culture in the art world in the state of Washington.
And again, it's at least in New York, at 6 o'clock in the evening on November 20th, Transgender Day of Remembrance will be down at the Christopher Street Pier. But there will be things going on all over the country because this is Transgender Awareness Month.
Yes, so look for events in your area for the Transgender Day of Remembrance on November 20th, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for being with us.
Bye.